much for joining us today. And I'd like to thank Stephen, my co-host, and also Jamie Partridge, who will probably be helping us turn this into a radio-friendly file. So thank you, Jamie, and thank you. You are listening to KBOO. This is Labor Radio. Have a wonderful rest of your evening.
Baby, you understand me now. If sometimes you see that I'm mad, don't you know no one alive can always be an angel? When everything goes wrong, you see some bad. But I'm just a soul whose intentions are good. Oh Lord, please don't let me be misunderstood.
Hi, this is Emma with Prison Pipeline. Before we get started on tonight's show, I want to remind everyone that you can donate today at kboo.fm/give. We aren't at the station right now to take your calls, but you can show your support by giving online. Support KBOO now and your donation will be matched dollar for dollar up to $10,000 until September 20th, thanks to the Ronnie S. LaCroute Fund of the Oregon Community Foundation. Again, that's kboo.fm/give. You can also make a contribution to the station at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue in Portland. And now, moving on to our interview with Sarah Iannarone.
Good evening. You are listening to Prison Pipeline here on KBOO Community Radio. And we're very honored tonight to have Sarah Iannarone with us. Sarah Iannarone is a candidate for the mayor of Portland, running against Ted Wheeler. Sarah, welcome to Prison Pipeline.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm really happy to be here.
Thank you. So first of all, if you would like, I just would like to give you a minute to make a statement, tell us about who you are and your campaign and some of the issues that you're running on.
Sure. So as you said, my name is Sarah Iannarone. For my pronouns are she, her, hers. I'm a mom. I've worked an awful lot community organizing in my neighborhood out here in the Mount Scott Arleta neighborhood where Foster Road crosses 82nd Avenue. I was educated at Portland State University. And in addition to opening up a restaurant in Portland back in 2006, my job for the last decade has been advising urban leaders from around the world how to make their cities more livable. I come from a working class background. My parents were both union members. My dad was a union organizer. I sent my kids to Portland Public Schools. I really spent a lot of time fighting to make sure Portland's achieving our potential through local government action. I'm not a career politician, so I don't always win in interviews, so forgive me if I mess up. But I'm running a publicly financed campaign free of big money corruption, and I'm a KBOO member. So.
Oh, great. Thank you so much for mentioning that. Just in the interest of fairness, I do have to mention at the beginning of this interview that Mayor Ted Wheeler has been invited. He has not responded, but if he does respond, we will also have him on Prison Pipeline in the interest of equal access laws for candidates. As you know, this show is Prison Pipeline. This is about issues that are related to justice for people who have been incarcerated and for reform and all of the issues related to that. So our questions tonight are mostly going to be about issues related to public policy regarding the criminal justice system. So my first question for you, Sarah, is what does defund the police mean to you?
Yeah, this is such an important question at this time. And I'm especially concerned in many ways about the notion of defunding anything when you're looking at 40 years of neoliberal austerity measures. What we talk about when we look at the erosion of government funding of the basic things to provide the safety net for people in our society is a tendency toward defunding and never funding again. And what I really want to focus on is the ending of wasteful spending. What we really need to stop is the hyper-militarization, the throwing good money after bad in programs that we know do not work, that do not keep people safe, and make sure that we're spending money on things that keep people safe. What in this community will keep Portlanders safe? And if we can think of it in those terms, then I believe we can start to achieve real outcomes. It's one reason why I ran for mayor in the first place, because the mayor, in our very unique, very clunky and antiquated and unjust in its own ways commission form of government, has two unique functions that the other city commissioners don't have, and that is the assignment of bureaus and setting that city budget. And so last year, when my campaign came together, we were already thinking in these terms long before the tragic murder of George Floyd. And that's why we called my public safety plan Rethinking Public Safety. And there really were two key elements in that. One was decriminalization, and the other was the reallocation of funding away from militarized policing toward community-led safety efforts that have been proven more effective, trauma-informed, culturally sensitive, and ultimately keeping Portlanders safe. So that's how I think about it.
How would you reform the Portland Police Bureau?
Whoa, this could take us hours, and I know that we only have a few minutes. What I have proposed, and I actually wrote an op-ed piece almost 18 months ago calling for the incumbent mayor, Ted Wheeler, to transfer the Portland Police Bureau police commissionership to Commissioner Joanne Hardesty. You know, Wheeler ran on police accountability in 2016, and he's continued to break his promises to the public for acting with the requisite urgency and clarity on that. And so I wanted her to be made a police commissioner even before the current civil rights uprising, because I felt that, you know, the public trust was not there for Mayor Wheeler to be able to do this work. But Commissioner Hardesty was equipped. She brings decades of knowledge to this work, and she's got a strong backing of the community behind her. And fortunately for us, she's already doing a lot of this work in convening and putting on the ballot a measure to have community oversight of police, which was one of the things that I proposed. I do think that we have to start looking honestly at what we're spending our money on. You know, I want to see more funding of things like the Portland Street Response. I don't like the armaments. I don't like the weapons. I don't like the tear gas. I don't like the wasteful spending on things that we know are hurting people. What I want to focus on are things that that people can call a number. Right now, no one can call 911 in this city and feel like they're getting their needs met. And what would it mean for people to know who they call when they feel unsafe is ultimately the question that I believe we have in front of us to answer as Portlanders.
In 2017, the Oregonian reported that people experiencing houselessness accounted for 52% of police arrests. The city has responded in part by conducting sweeps of homeless camps, while also creating programs like Portland Street Response. What policies do you support that would reduce the disparities in police attention to the houseless community?
I mean, this is really what sets me apart from my opponent, because I have called for a moratorium on the sweeps. It's a displacement that's costly. We know that when someone experiencing homelessness, you stole my stat, by the way, because usually when I'm out pitching this campaign, I say, do you realize that in 2017, over half of the arrests made by the Portland Police Bureau were of people experiencing homelessness? And when we criminalize the condition of being impoverished, we are wasting so much money that we could be actually using to address meeting their basic human needs and also supporting the community in that work. I mean, think about if we weren't funding that criminalization, that policing of people who are most at need in our city, but rather funding access to public restrooms, safe injection sites, peer support and mental health services that help people keep people out of crisis. And we know that even having access to a safe night's sleep or a full meal and enough drinking water helps keep people out of crisis. It's that notion of an ounce of prevention being worth a pound of cure. I think community led services that are from a public health perspective and not from a criminalization, criminal justice perspective are really what we need to do. There's a plan on my website, it's called Housing for All. It really does help us think about what it means to start investing at all sorts of housing along the income spectrum. But really, we have to stop putting good money after bad. We have seen that our police bureau fails to keep people safe. They disproportionately target BIPOC people in our city. They get more money year after year, even as we see people struggling more and more in the streets. So that's, I mean, just reallocating that money to human services is something I'll do immediately while putting a moratorium on the sweeps, because they're costly, ineffective, and ultimately they just displace people. And then within a week or 2 weeks, they're back in the same condition. So it's literally throwing money down the drain.
Many of us remember the trial and eventual sentencing of Mahmoud Mahmoud. He was a student in Corvallis who was targeted by the FBI and set up as part of the JTTF's cooperation with the PPB. In 2019, the city voted for a second time to remove officers from the FBI's secretive JTTF. Oregon law restricts conducting investigations with no reasonable suspicion of criminal conduct, while the FBI can open investigations based on speculation, which is how Mahmoud Mahmoud was tried and eventually sentenced. Do you support staying out of the JTTF? And more broadly, what are your thoughts about the involvement of both the JTTF or federal police officers in Portland city government?
Oh my goodness, let's just talk about the feds, right? Because it was very clear to me when we put together that public safety plan last year that, you know, having no cooperation between City of Portland and JTTF was going to be important, but also ICE, right? Also HLS. And now look at how critical it has proven in these recent months that we not be cooperating with these federal forces who are operating with impunity, beyond accountability, in tandem with our local law enforcement agencies, even when we've been promised by our elected officials that they're not, which means that they are rogue and operating outside the electoral process and without oversight. I really think that we should take more drastic measures as a sanctuary city, because what we need to say is this: in a sanctuary city, we will do everything in our power to make sure there is no bigotry, there is no hate, there are no disparities in enforcement, because ultimately it's about that equal enforcement of the law so that it applies to everyone. And right now, the laws don't apply to the feds, and they really don't apply to Portland Police Bureau officers either. And so we need to think about, what does it mean for us to keep Portlanders safe? Well, if it means decoupling from those federal services, then that's the way that it's going to have to go. And I think that we should work to revoke ICE's permit down at South Waterfront, frankly. I don't think that we should, you know, have them occupying these spaces in our city.
Do you support Black Lives Matter? And what policies would you support that Black Lives Matter is calling for right now during their 100 days of protest here in Portland?
So I support them, obviously, in moving money away from militarized policing to community-led services. I think we need to center their voices in community safety policy after this. So when we're thinking about what we're taking down, which are these racist institutions and systems, 400 plus years, what do we want to have in its place? I believe that Black Portlanders have a very large part in deciding what that should look like. I think that we need to, again, I would make Commissioner Hardesty the police commissioner. I share their opinion that Mayor Wheeler should resign. I've actually been on that front by campaigning against him since last year, thinking that we need to get him out of that seat. So I share that with them. And ultimately, The way that I look at this is similarly to how I look at climate change. There are things that we need to do in the short term to shore up our communities and keep them safe. And there are things that we need to do in the long term for the managed decline of multi-billion dollar transnational systems upon which economies rise and fall. And when you think about municipal policing, militarized municipal policing, and the economies of that, managing Portland's extrication from that is going to be a generational process, I think, where we start to think about what do we have beyond incarceration? What do we have beyond policing? And what are we going to build up even as we build down the systems that we know are not working?
Thank you. Hi, this is Emma. I just want to take a quick break from this interview to remind everyone that you can donate today at kboo.fm/give. We aren't at the station to take your call, but you can support by giving online. Support KBOO now, and your donation will be matched dollar for dollar up to $10,000 until September 20th, thanks to the Ronnie S. Lick Group Fund of the Oregon Community Foundation. Again, that's kboo.fm/give. Or you can also make a contribution to the station at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue. Now, returning to our interview with Sarah Iannarone.
We're talking tonight with Sarah Iannarone, who is a candidate for mayor of Portland, currently running against Ted Wheeler, the incumbent. And in the interest of equal access, Mayor Wheeler has also been invited to appear on KVU on Prison Pipeline, but we have not heard back from his office. My next question, the civilian oversight system, which includes the independent police review, is not adequately holding officers accountable for community standards. And PRB hearings are closed to all but one or two community members who are uninvolved in incidents being considered. What changes would you support to the police review board to help make the review process more transparent to the public?
You know, I think it's going to take us looking at how do we hold officers accountable for bad behavior. You know, we did just see three members resign from the CRC because they said it felt ineffective. I know the notion that these oversight systems lack real teeth is something that has been concerning to police reform advocates for some time. I do think the lack of accountability matters. It's challenging to know where we should go. Again, this is why I'm so thankful that we have someone like Commissioner Hardesty leading on this ballot measure where we will set up a community oversight system for Portland that I hope will be able to evolve even as we learn more about what is going to be happening in our city. It's really about what do we do so that we can rebuild public trust in policing and or public safety, but also what does it mean to hold people accountable for their behavior? I mean, if we had members of the Parks Bureau murdering Portlanders in the streets, they wouldn't be able to keep their jobs. And so thinking about what does it mean for us to really hold people accountable for keeping Portlanders safe is going to be the challenging question for us moving forward. Ultimately, having the community take the lead on that is going to be transformational and pivotal. But I also think there's something to think about in terms of the DOJ pullout in possibly, I'm guessing, January or February of next year, as Judge Simon has told us that, you know, Trump's DOJ has found Portland largely in compliance with our settlement agreement. And so that has us looking at PSEP, which was formerly COAB, and that use of force settlement agreement, and thinking about it really would be nice to have a singular body where these things were taking place, but also knowing that we need community members with relevant areas of expertise, because we know that it's very different. Life is different for a BIPOC Portlander than it is for someone maybe who is a sex worker, or maybe who is experiencing intimate partner or domestic violence, or returning citizens. Like, what does it mean for each of those groups to have their unique needs reflected in that body too? So diversity of representation is going to be very important, and making sure that it's truly empowered and independent when it comes to their decision making, and clarity and simplicity, because right now it's labyrinthine, opaque, lacking in accountability, and lacking really in teeth or effectiveness.
Two of the very surprising results of the public pressure that's happened over the entire summer here in Portland, which happened fairly early, was the elimination of the gun violence reduction team, and also the removal of SROs from the schools. Since that time, there's been a spike in murders in Portland, and there's been pressure to bring the gun violence reduction team back from various elements. What role do you think that the city council made the right decision in removing the gun violence reduction team and the SROs? And what would you do to ensure public safety?
Yeah, this is such an important question. And it goes back to that beginning of our conversation, when it's just not what do you want to get rid of, but what do you want to build up, right? We want to get rid of systems that we know have inequality baked in, like the SROs and the school to prison pipeline, like the GVRT, formerly known as the Gang Task Force, right? Which we know, if it really were focused on preventing gang violence, then Joey Gibson and the Proud Boys and Patriot Prayer wouldn't be allowed in our city, but that's another story for another day. So what does it mean for us to say, okay, we're going to dismantle racist systems, but what do we want to have in its place? I think there's a few things that we can do in Portland, and I'm actually going to be releasing this week. I hope people will come back to my website at sarah2020.com and look at it, is my gun violence prevention policy. So we need to think about public safety in terms of proactive community engagement and not criminalization, again, or this notion of hyper-policing, especially of Black and brown bodies in our city. We need to be enforcing. We actually have some very good gun safety laws on the book that go largely ignored and unenforced. So making sure that we are enforcing existing gun legislation. We need to think about firearm safety in particular. What does it mean for us to say that firearm safety is a very important part of how we're going to keep people safe? We need to be engaging youth on this and families. This is a matter of community security. It's a matter of shoring up families, making sure that our young people are feeling supported and engaged, and our families are feeling supportive and engaged again, because public safety isn't about policing of bodies to prevent behavior. It's about investments in communities so that people feel healthy and whole. And ultimately, gun violence, as we're seeing right now, is at epidemic levels. And so the more that we can think about gun violence prevention, I think that we're actually going to make better progress, because we're going to have, a leadership that cares about it. I don't think that we've had leadership who really took on gun violence prevention since probably Mayor Sam Adams or even Vera Katz, in terms of actually talking about it and making sure that our city was engaged in it.
Sarah Iannarone, we have about 5 minutes left, and I would just like to give you an opportunity to talk about any policies that are related to criminal justice reform, policing in Portland, even immigration, that distinguish you from Mayor Ted Wheeler. What policies are you supporting or pushing that are different from Mayor Wheeler that you would like voters to know about?
I think one of the things that Portlanders have valued most in my presence in our community is my commitment to everyday anti-fascism and making sure that we are truly holding people equally accountable when it comes to criminality in our city. What we're seeing right now is that the people at our protests are largely nonviolent, but they are met with violence, and that violence is coming from the Portland Police Bureau. We've seen unequal enforcement when we, time and again, white nationalists, outside agitators come from around the Pacific Northwest to run roughshod over our city, to poke at us as a progressive bastion, to sow discord and to bring hate here, to incite riots, which is criminal, again. But what we've seen is the mayor with this both sidesism, right? There are violent actors on both sides, or there are good people on both sides. And what we know is this is not a time for both sidesism, not just in Portland, but in the United States of America. And so the defining thing, apart from policies, because Mayor Wheeler says a lot of good words all the time. He'll put out 19-point plan this, or let me give you my 12-point plan on that. But it's about who do you trust when things get hard, so that we have someone we know will not equivocate when it comes to justice. And one of the ways I think people are going to be able to trust me more is through the fact that I'm publicly financed. And this is pretty groundbreaking, because unlike the incumbent, who is really, when the Downtown Business Association calls, he needs to pick up the phone. When they're worried about boarded up windows, which are boarded up due to COVID, but they tell him that's because they're afraid of Black Lives Matter demonstrators, I don't have to worry about saying, I got to call a little BS on this, because ultimately it's not those few hundred people who are funding me, it's thousands of Portlanders who are behind me in this effort to actually get a people's mayor back in the seat, the mayor's seat at City Hall. And so I think you have someone who's publicly financed, who understands, that everyday Portlanders really want to have a voice in local government, and that we need to make sure that someone like me is making those decisions when it comes to how will we fund police? What will we do in terms of accountability? Will we have someone who will say, no, we cannot tear gas neighborhoods while mothers and children are sleeping in their beds? I mean, this is the kind of thing where if you come from a background like mine and are funded like I am, you have higher level of confidence that I will make decisions on the side of public health, human rights, community safety, than someone who's funded by the downtown business community.
Thank you. We've been speaking tonight with Sarah Iannarone, a candidate for mayor of Portland, currently running against Mayor Ted Wheeler. Mayor Wheeler has also been invited to appear on Prison Pipeline, and if he responds to us, we will have him on. Sarah, if people would like to find out more about you or about your campaign, where can they go?
So my campaign website is sarah2020.com. And for listeners of this program, what will be of most interest, I believe, is sarah2020.com/public safety, where you can find my Rethinking Public Safety plan.
Thank you so much, and best of luck to you.
Thanks for having me on, and keep up the good work. This is such an important topic.
Baby, you understand me now. If sometimes you see that I'm mad, don't you know no one alive can always be an angel? When everything goes wrong, you see some bad. But I'm just a soul whose intentions are good. Oh Lord, please don't let me be misunderstood. Thank you.
like you to meet a friend of ours who goes by the name of Killer Joe. Picture a so-called hippie or hip cat standing on a corner in a neatly pressed, double-breasted, form-fitting pinstripe suit, a pair of pointed-toed shoes with bold white stitches around the soles, a black shirt, long white tie, a black pencil mustache, and of course, a very wide-brimmed black felt hat.
You are listening to KBOO Portland. Do you believe in the power of community radio? Then show your support by donating to KBOO today. We have a fundraising goal of $80,000, and we need listeners like you to help us get there. Show your support for non-commercial, people-powered community radio by going to kboo.fm.